live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company here, hour three for Ty and I. We will be with you for the next 60 minutes. No Steve Cofield. He will be back soon. As you know, he does cover the UNLV football team as well. So coming up this weekend, UNLV going to Oregon State. Griffin, let's bring you in here for this next segment here. Leadership or lack of, and this will be a great one to get your take too, because you did play football, and Nina will give our opinion even from playing other sports here. But what did you think, and kind of break down this story here with Ryan Fitzpatrick bothered by Aaron Rodgers' leadership?
Yeah, good old boy A-Rod just decided to call out his wide receiver, Mike Williams, after they lost to the Buffalo Bills on Thursday Night Football. Ryan Fitzpatrick afterwards came out and said that he was bothered by Aaron Rodgers' leadership, saying, you know, why can't he shoulder all the blame in the media and then get behind closed doors with Mike Williams and talk about their issues on the field? I like this story because even though Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't seen necessarily as one of the great leaders the NFL ever had, he's a former quarterback, played on multiple teams, played with a lot of guys on a lot of teams. He makes a good point, which is, you know, Aaron Rodgers seemed more focused after that game, that loss against the Bills, more focused on pointing out Mike Williams' mistake rather than talking about, you know, what the team in total could have done better, or what he himself, as the quote unquote leader of the Jets, what he could have done better. So I just think that, you know, when it comes to leadership, it's always take the blame first, be the first one to take the blame, be the last one to take the credit. What do you guys think about this story?
Have you ever been the oldest on a team?
Multiple times.
It's pretty significant here for Aaron Rodgers, though. I feel like at a certain point, it kind of does get tough to do that over and over. And probably just really trying to teach, and maybe it's not the best way, but, you know, help the young guys, and not being easy on them sometimes is the best way. So I don't think he did it in such a negative way that it looked bad. But, I mean, I need to look into it more and see exactly what his comments.
Well, I mean, basically, I'll tell you, like, Mike Williams, I believe he's about 29 years old. He's a solid receiver. He came over from the Chargers.
Yeah, that's right, from the Chargers for a while.
Yeah, he's a solid receiver. He's not one of the best in the league, but he's good. I don't think, regardless of who the receiver was, I think that Fitzpatrick has a point here. Rodgers really just, the way he handles himself in the media or during press conferences, it's very arrogant. It's very, he's almost blatant in showing, you know, he's blatant on pissing people off because he does things that you don't see from traditional leaders. He's pointing out his guys. He's calling them out in front of media members instead of addressing it in the locker room. That's not really a leadership move. That is I don't want to take all the blame for this, so I'm going to make sure my boy takes a little bit of this fallout with me. So it don't sit right to me. It doesn't seem like a leadership move. And as a Bears fan, this is typical A-Rod. This is typical Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I do agree. It's, to me, and it depends on your definition of what a leader is, right? And when you're on a sports team, I've played sports. I played volleyball for 4 years. I would have hated for my leader to do that, because you want to feel that your leader, the franchise quarterback, has your back no matter what, through thick and thin. I also agree, when you bring things to the media's attention, it can be turned 1,000 different ways, because that's the media's job, is to focal point and pinpoint what is stated, and then a ton of articles are out and everybody, like us right now, are talking about it. When things are kept behind closed doors, not only is the media and everybody else out of your business, but that personal relationship and connection can grow. What I feel like Aaron Rodgers, what happens with him is that he's just been in the news a lot, right? Last year with his injury, the Packers to the Jets, then it came to the injury, then it was all the stuff with training camp and him in Egypt or something like that, and him and Robert Saleh's communication wasn't great. So I feel like it's so much with Aaron Rodgers that maybe at that point he's just like, oh, there's too much on me, there's my name and my reputation is starting to look bad, so now, you know, I don't want to fully take the blame for things. And it couldn't have been that way. It could go completely separate, but I'm gonna have to agree with Griffin. Leadership to me is, it's done in private.
I will just say, I think looking at it a little bit differently, the one thing that does bother me about Aaron Rodgers is he talks about accountability a lot, and I just wish he would talk about his own and take accountability for his mistakes. I don't think he needs to take the blame for Mike Williams or other wide receivers. Like, I do think it's okay for him, you know, to kind of call it as it is, but he does have to take accountability, and there's a lot that he could do better in the quarterback position. But I think a lot falls on him in this leadership role because of his age and because he came over here. But, I mean, is Aaron Rodgers really like the rah-rah leader? I mean, he's kind of been this way for a while now, late in his career.
When you make that many appearances on the Pat McAfee show, you are a regular guest. You're talking all your team secrets. You're talking all of your career secrets. You are constantly putting yourself in the media eye. You are the leader. You're in that position of quarterback. You want to be over here, call it, you know, hogging all of the headlines. It's always anything with the Jets. It's always Aaron Rodgers. It's always who does he want? What coordinator does he want? What buddy of his that he played with back in the day, who's now 90, does he want to go out there and catch balls for him? He puts himself in the position of leader, like outside of just being the quarterback, because of how prominent he is in being in the public eye, how prominent he is to get his name out there. To be earlier this year, he was like talking about becoming a vice presidential candidate, like joining old Kennedy, joining his team as his vice president. Like, that is not what a leader does. A leader keeps the main focus, the main thing, and he hasn't done that throughout his tenure as the Jets, with the Jets, honestly.
No, he hasn't. And it's just weird. The whole Pat McAfee constant appearance, right?
Because he doesn't really need to do it, right? Like, he has the attention. He has the resume. So he's clearly doing it for his voice to be heard. Because typically when you're in the role of a quarterback or you're just an athlete, period, your voice is censored only so much, and anything you say can be taken out of perspective. So him joining that show weekly allows him to speak, right? And if he's going to be speaking out loud, he has to have the qualities of a leadership, because that's what he is. He is a leader.
I guess I'm looking at this the wrong way, because
no, you're actually looking at it in a really good way too, though.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, I'm not really taking it that serious. And if they are trying to be a Super Bowl contender, I should take everything that happens and every time he goes on a show like this more serious, I guess.
Well, I mean, honestly, another reason why I threw this into the rundown was not just to talk about his leadership qualities, or really, it was more to focus on his leadership qualities being what they are. And now they get Devontae Adams onto the team, which now it's, I think it might have been Packers head coach saying, you know, New York Jets are now Packers East. You know, they got Nathaniel Hackett still on staff. He's no longer the OC, but he is on staff. Alan Lazard is there. Now Devontae Adams. There's a lot of influence from Aaron Rodgers' days with the Green Bay Packers. With all the new additions and with all the additions from the former Packer teams with him on the Jets, now with Devontae Adams, does this at all help their playoff hopes? Do the New York Jets currently seem like a team that is structured, you know, keeping out all the outside noise and everything else? Do they seem like a team that can get this season turned around, make a midseason switch, you know, rack off a bunch of wins for the rest of the year? Or do they seem like a dysfunctional group that are just going to go down in flames and a lot of people are going to lose jobs at the end of the year?
That is a great question. What do you think, Griffin?
I think this whole thing is burning. I think the whole thing is burning. I got no quarrels with the Jets, but as a Bears fan, I always love to see A-Rod fail. And right now, this whole season is I'm enjoying it. Anybody who's what would you call it now, quote unquote, a hater of A-Rod? Like, if I'm a hater of A-Rod, I'm getting everything I want, and that's watching him go down in flames, watching him get in his own way, watch him turn this organization, the Jets, who haven't had success in a very long time. That's not, you know, that it'd be nice for them to have success, but with A-Rod in the building, with everything going on, it just doesn't seem that way.
Well, looking at the AFC, I mean, I do still think they have a shot to turn it around, because no teams have been that dominant, especially Miami now with their struggles. Buffalo, you know, has that division as of right now. The Ravens have been very impressive since they added Derrick Henry. Houston has not been, and we kind of expected a sophomore little slump here, but I don't really think it is because of CJ Stroud. Just
all in all their team, but I do think they will turn it around. They're still 5-1, still finding ways to win, right? Kansas City, of course, 5-0. Chargers hoping to make a leap, but really, I mean, who else are we thinking? Steelers, I think that they are a playoff team.
Steelers could be, I could see it for sure. They're in a strong, their division is strong in the AFC North, but Bengals seem like they're having a down year. You know, the Browns are doing Brown things. Yeah. And so they, there's not many, the AFC seems a little bit weaker this season.
Oh, it's a lot weaker.
It seems a little bit weaker, not as dominant as it has been in the past few years. Whether that's the teams are worse or whether they're just all beating
the hell out
of each other. Yeah.
And everybody's hurt.
They're getting all beat up. So it's possible. I could see, possibly they can inch in there through a, get one of the wild card spots, but it's so chaotic and it's so messy that it's just, I don't think a positive outcome is likely in this scenario for them.
I don't think that is a crazy take by you by any means, but I do think that they can definitely sneak into the playoffs. And now the question is that they do have Davante Adams and they're going to try and get things figured out. Would they have been better off with Robert Sala or not? But we will not know because now they have that whole mix up with Ulrich now running that team. We're going to switch it over just a little bit and go back to the whole Jerry Jones thing because we did not get your opinion on that with Jerry Jones threatening the job of the radio host.
Yeah, I watched the interview. I looked and saw the comment from that radio host following that outburst from Jerry Jones. It's sad because Jerry Jones seems like an old man who just is floundering while his team is getting the brakes beat off him. It's weird to see a man in such a high position. I liked what I was saying earlier about it. He's just coming off as spoiled. He comes off as, I'm the rich man in this room and the rich man is going to get what the rich man wants. He doesn't like the media asking him questions about his team. That's literally the job of the media. You're saying fans can ask you those questions because your fans are probably, for the most part, fans can be critical and they can be honest with their team, with their teams. But he's getting mad because he's saying the fans can ask me questions, but you, a media member, you're not allowed to ask me questions. Like, you're not allowed to ask those type of questions. It's very backwards. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, when that's literally your job.
Yeah, no. It's literally your job, right? Like I said earlier, it was the part where it's like he believed that he was paying those guys, right? Like, he's giving them employment to go on air and talk about the problems of the team. I didn't like that comment at all. Like, especially being a person who is in radio, right? You, like you said, it's your job to ask the challenging questions no matter what. But that right there, it got under his skin, and that's why he had the response that he did.
I think Griffin said it well, too. It's pretty sad to see.
Well, I mean,
you ain't got to stoop that low. You really don't at the end of the day.
It was obvious a outburst from him, from Jerry Jones during that phone call. You can tell because just of the kind of year the Dallas Cowboys are having this season, it's not fun. The Detroit Lions absolutely embarrassed them.
Wasn't that on his birthday too?
It was on the man's birthday. What was it, 158th birthday? I don't even know how old Jones is at this point. But it was obviously an outburst. And I guarantee you, if you got him in a private room, Jerry Jones, and you asked him off record, do you regret being like that? It was radio and you were over the phone line. But you were still in the public eye when you did that and you said that, and now it's like become national news. I guarantee you he would say, yes, I regret that. Yes, I regret looking, coming off honestly a little weak in that position because I lashed out at a media member asking me a question about my team, which is literally his job. We have anybody who doesn't know here at the station, we have a same kind of setup with the Raiders. We have our Raider Nation radio station, all the radio shows, obviously Q Myers, JT the Brick, similar roles like this gentleman was in Dallas. So it's not abnormal for NFL teams to have radio shows and radio stations dedicated to them and be talking about them constantly. When you're covering a single team, it gets hard to not talk about the hardships, not talk about the faults. So you can't be getting mad when somebody whose job is to talk about your team 24/7 is going to start getting into the harder questions. Isn't just going to be all, underhand questions that make you look good or fun to answer. Sometimes it's critical, real hard criticism you're going to be facing in these questions. You just got to take it.
How are you feeling over there as a Bears fan? You have a bye week, right? And then all this drama's happening, all these trades with wide receivers and Jerry Jones news. And how are you feeling as a Bears fan?
I'm so happy that the Bears owners are just quiet. They don't have personality. I think one of the owners, he even came out not too long ago, admitted he doesn't know that much about football. And I'm like, oh, you don't say. My team has been suffering. I have been suffering for years. It's good to hear you don't know that much about the sport of the team that I love, the team you own. But no, it feels good. 4-2 record. Everybody's looking for receivers. We got those locked down in the offseason and the year prior. So Bears, we're sitting pretty. I'm pretty happy
it's
right
just
now.
Probably, it just seems like it would be consistency with you guys. But I do like Ryan Poles a lot. And I think I liked him so much after the training camp, because you really got to see the Bears organization, how it's ran, how he communicates with the players. I'm not a fan of the Bears at all, but I think it's just consistency with your team is what it seems like. They got to get the consistency there. Everybody wants to say Caleb Williams, compare him to the Jaden Daniels. You know what I mean? It's just all about consistency.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. What do you think?
I think my team has struggled. I think my team has gotten through its hardships. I think
yes,
my team has finally.
But now it's about being consistent.
Now it is about being consistent, but it's also about, it was at the beginning of the season, getting Caleb Williams adjusted to the NFL. Everyone was already, I think it was after 2 or 3 weeks, we're fast to say, oh, another Bears blunder. They picked the wrong guy with one and the right guy went to two.
Yeah, that's true.
But look what happens when you give the man time. Look what happens when you let a rookie quarterback take his bumps and bruises through the first few weeks, and then you let him get integrated into the system. Now he just got done in London putting up 4 touchdowns on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Granted, it's the Jaguars. But at the same time, he's starting to catch his groove. Got to have a little patience. Everybody here in the sports media world, or anybody who are sports fans, they're so quick with their takes. They're so quick with their analysis. Let's calm down. Let's take it week by week. Let's see where this goes. Don't just make assumptions after a couple bad games. Come on.
I was impressed with that London game, because I stay off of those games betting-wise, because you never know what you're going to get from the team with the travel and then adjusting, you know, with the time zones. And so it's just a lot. So that was a very good, impressive win for Chicago over there. And yes, Jacksonville has definitely had their struggles. But still, I do want to bring up one more topic before we take a break and we bring in our next guest. But we've been talking about WNBA, and we all talk about it with Cofield throughout this summer. Very exciting year, great rookie class, right? And now Caitlin Clark becomes the first rookie to make the All-WNBA first team since Candace Parker. That was 16 years ago. What do we think about this? I mean, is she on track to be the GOAT?
100%. I've been a fan of Caitlin Clark once all of the drama happened with her, right? With the Angel Reese's and the Caitlin Clarks. But to see her come out, struggle at the beginning of the season, come off of the Olympic break, right? They were off for a couple weeks, and ball out. Like, it's so impressive. She's so lethal at shooting. She's great at passing. Like, she's just a fun player to watch. And I'm so excited to continue to see her get that recognition and that awards. Whether people want to constantly compare it with anyone else or compare it with the Angel Reese's, I think Caitlin Clark is a better off basketball player, in my opinion. And she deserves it. She really, truly does. Because even though she talks, which is, it's the game, you're going to talk, it's competitive. At the end of the day, I think she still remains a level of humility, but she also remains a level of competitiveness that really can't be compared.
I'm with you. I actually had a debate with my younger brother over this summer because he was saying Caitlin Clark was going to be the greatest of all time. And I told him to slow down because Asia Wilson was still in the league and doing Asia Wilson things. But now, I mean, wow, first rookie to make all WNBA first team since Candace Parker is pretty impressive. And they are different positions, so it's hard to compare.
Yeah.
But I think Caitlin Clark is
going to
really run away.
Do you think her popularity had to play in that, though, at all? Or was it?
I don't know.
Or do you think it's really, truly based off of performance?
I think it's based off performance. I mean, okay. She broke so many records, so I would have to.
What do you think,
I would
Griff?
Have to lean that
I
way.
I want to hear his WNBA takes.
I think this little white girl in Indiana is going off, and that she's a problem. And everybody who all summer I've had to hear, stop talking about the WNBA. Tell Cofield to stop talking about WNBA. Get off your high horse and recognize that this sport is on the up and up. We need to get excited for things like this. How you feel about tennis? Tennis is a sport where they had the Williams sisters and a few other people, but it's not going to be blowing up anytime soon like a college football or like an NFL or any of these major sports. It's she's helping the game. Appreciate her while she is here. But guys, you know who else is great? Brad Paisley.
Are we giving away tickets?
We are. So caller 7 right now. Caller 7. Call 702-364-1100. Caller 7 will win 2 tickets to go see Brad Paisley for his Acoustic Storyteller Tour going on October 18th through the 19th. These tickets will be for one of those days. Caller 7 right now, and we'll get you set up. California,
yeah. Mr. L.A., Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Steve Cofield is not here, but we are so excited to have Mr. L.A. here with us. Arash Markazi joins us now on Cofield & Company. Arash, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, we want to start off with a game that happened here in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile. I'm not sure if you were here for this game, but the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers. Give us your take. The Vegas crowd went absolutely crazy for Bronny James when he got into the game. What'd you think of that?
It's great. Listen, Las Vegas has always been the Lakers' home away from home. That's why they always have a preseason game in Las Vegas. They bring their season ticket holders out there, their sponsors and their partners. It's like a treat for them. So, you know, a great night for the fans, I guess. But listen, I mean, I think we're beginning to see that this Lakers team is not a championship contender as they're currently constructed right now. You know, listen, they didn't really do a whole lot to a team that was a play-in tournament team that effectively got swept, even though I know they won one game in the first round. So, the big story for me always when LeBron comes to Vegas is this is his future home. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt that he's going to follow in the footsteps of Tom Brady and own a percentage, 5% or more of the team here. But the product on the court for the Lakers, unfortunately, to my view, I think they are once again a play-in team.
I want to talk about the Raiders. We'll just transition a little bit, right? You've already mentioned Tom Brady being a part owner as well as Seymour. How do you feel about that? Is it a great addition?
I think it is a great addition. I think anytime you can bring someone into the facility, and I thought it was great that, you know, he's already gone to meet a lot of people. He was at the facility today. When you have a winner like a Tom Brady who wants to be involved, I think that's a great thing. And so, you know, what exactly his role is going to be very kind of interesting. I think Mark Davis certainly wants him involved, you know, him saying that, you know, he may play a role in them picking a quarterback and even training a quarterback. But what I'm most intrigued by, and I know you are perhaps as well, is that the whole, you know, being involved with a team and being a broadcaster, he's going to do it for this season just because we're too far down the line this year and Fox has the Super Bowl this year. But, like, I'd be very curious, you know, to what extent – does the team or the league say, hey, you really have to pick one here because we've never seen something like this before. But as far as Las Vegas is concerned, I think this is a great thing.
I'm with you. I don't know how long that he can do both, but it will be interesting. Speaking of the Raiders, they have a game this week against the Rams. I feel like the Rams are pretty fortunate here coming off a bye week and getting healthier. What's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, a tough matchup for both teams that, listen, I know that they both think that they can maybe turn around their season with a win here, but you got two teams, you know, one's 2-4 in Las Vegas, 1-4 with the Rams. The Rams have been hurt. They do hope Cooper Kupp will come back. He went through practice today, but they're not a Cooper Kupp away from being a good team. They have a lot of problems. I think the Rams are going to find a way to win here. But listen, both of these teams have really surprised me this year. Not that I expected either one to be a Super Bowl team, but I certainly expected both to contend for a playoff spot. But there will be a lot of silver and black in the crowd at SoFi Stadium. Obviously, they are still one of, if not the most popular teams in Los Angeles. But I like the Rams close, but again, both of these teams have really surprised me.
Let's talk a little bit about college football. We got UNLV against Oregon State. Want to get your perspective with that. They're coming off a really big win against Utah State, which is pretty impressive. Do you think UNLV can keep the roll, keep it going?
I think so. I mean, I really like what they've built there. I like that they, on one hand, it was great that everyone around the country was talking about them during the whole situation with the quarterback, but they responded with a big blowout win over Fresno State. Tough loss at home against Syracuse. But it's always a great thing when we hear that they're going to put in, you know, new seats, expanded parking for the game against Boise State. So, listen, I just love the direction this program is going. And I know the loss to Syracuse was a step back, but I really do view them as a long-term project here. And just really happy that the fans are getting around this team.
Arash, keeping it with college football, heartbreak loss for USC last week against Penn State. Now, what do you think the chances are that the Trojans will make it into the playoffs?
Yeah, probably no chance that they get into the playoffs at this point at 3-3. And it's tough. I mean, it's an excuse. It's something that Lincoln Riley has said, but they are maybe 3 or 4 plays away from being 6-0. But the fact of the matter is that they're not 6-0. They're not even 5-1. They're not even 4-2. They're 3-3. So the fact that those plays have not gone in their direction says something about their coaching and playing and what they're doing in these situations. Obviously, like if it's a blowout game, you're going to win. But what do you do when your back's against the wall and you have to make the right play at the right time? And there's been 3 big games this season against 3 Big Ten teams. They have not come up in those moments. So, really tough loss against a top 5 Penn State team at home. I really thought they could have turned around their season despite the 2 losses that they had and really kind of closed out the season with a chance to make it at least give them a chance to be in the playoffs. At 3-3, unfortunately, that will not happen.
They definitely have the talent, so it is unfortunate.
Arash, yeah. We want to get your opinion with everything, right? Because you're such a well-knowledgeable person. We've talked boxing before. We're going to turn the page because I really want to get your opinion in regards to this. Of course, my favorite fighter, Gervonta Tank Davis, is fighting Lamont Roach this upcoming December. But a lot of people think that Gervonta is the type of fighter who chooses people that he can potentially win against to keep a perfect record. Lamont is moving up in weight classes. Give me your opinion with that.
No, listen, by the way, I mean, the whole thing about going up against fighters that you can beat, I mean, that's been going on for quite some time. Smart business decision, by the way. I know fight fans don't like it. The other thing about that is if I'm going to go into the ring against someone that I think has a chance to beat me, I better get a big payday from that. Again, we keep hearing that with Canelo. Yes, there's a lot of fighters out there, but by the way, that I think could beat Canelo. But who could bring the payday? So, listen, I mean, like, Oscar did that. I'll talk to Oscar about this. He didn't feel that confidence going in against Floyd. He didn't feel that confidence going up against Pacquiao. But those two guys brought a big payday, so he can now do his social with his underwear on, and he's making a ton of money. So that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, Gervonta Davis, I love where he's at. I love this fight coming up. I like Gervonta. I just think you need fights like this for more and more people to talk about this fight. And again, I know we're both fight fans, but again, the thing that boxing needs is these transcendent fights, these transcendent figures where the casual fans are talking about this. Those big fights that are happening like in the fall, and that despite the fact that it's happening on the same weekend as college football and pro football, people are talking about fights. So hopefully we get back there.
Arash, staying on the topic of Gervonta Davis, obviously we're going to hopefully see a good performance from him in this next outing. But after, I mean, we saw him go up against Ryan Garcia, and that was surely a really good boxing match. That got a lot of people, both the casuals and the hardcore boxing fans, talking. Is there any possible next big matchup for Tank that you could see happening, or one that you think you would want to see and would be the best for his career?
Listen, the Ryan Garcia fight was great for him because of social media and Garcia, you know, what he brought to the table. Now, would he want to get back in there, like, after what happened? I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I'm trying to kind of pick my brain in terms of who, you know, because, again, this fight coming up against Lamont is one that I am intrigued by. But I always, as sort of someone who covers a lot of sports, trying to think, like, how is this fight going to lead the front page of the paper, or people are going to talk about that on the news that night? And it's tough to do, but I think someone like Garcia is kind of interesting to me because of his presence on social media, because of his presence with the younger fans, the casual fight fan.
All right, we got to switch over to baseball. Dodgers here in the playoffs. I'm curious what the atmosphere is like. How are Dodger fans right now? I mean, what a series so far. 1-1. Now, this game it's the bottom of the second. No runs yet in this one. But how is the atmosphere? How are Dodger fans feeling?
Well, this is a big moment for Los Angeles. There's a 1-1A. When people ask, you know, there's so many pro sports out in Los Angeles, one of the most popular teams. It's the Lakers and the Dodgers, 1-1A in October, this time of year when it's the Dodgers playing. Everyone's a Dodgers fan. So, I mean, they had their backs up against the wall. I think everyone thought that series was going to be over against San Diego. Came back to win game four with the bullpen game, won game five at home. Series is tied 1-1. The Dodgers just scored a run in the second. So this is a big game for them. I mean, listen, for them to drop game two at home, they got to reclaim home field advantage here. I think this is going to be a good long series. I mean, as much as I like the Dodgers' chances to win it, they had to go to five games, which was the extent of the series against the Padres in the division series. I think the same thing will happen here. I like them against the Mets. I think it'll be a long series, so it'll come back here.
Arash, I'll leave you with this. One more question. I think Steve Cofield will be proud of me for getting this one in as well. And it kind of relates to sports betting for me because the home court advantage means so much in professional sports. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer teases potential rewarding noisy fans with free hamburgers. Is this true?
It is true. So Steve Ballmer said that on 60 Minutes. I went to the Intuit Dome. It is a fantastic arena. It is $2 billion. It is beautiful, but it's very technologically savvy. So you sit in your seats, and I guess they can monitor how loud you clap, how loud you are. So as they can say, the person in section, 202, row 5, seat 3 is the loudest. Here's a free hamburger. So it's interesting. We'll see. Listen, I mean, the Clippers are another team, unfortunately, in Los Angeles that I don't think is going to be all that good this year. Kawhi, by the way, has not practiced a single day, is not expected to start the season for the Clippers. So once again, the season begins without Kawhi for the Clippers.
Well, we appreciate you so much, Arash Markazi, everyone, joining Cofield and Company every Wednesday. We'll talk to you soon. Take care out there, okay?
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Time for Grab Bag. You know what that means? We have made it to the end of the show here. 3 hours. It's been a lot of fun here. I'm Alex White with Nye and Griffin. Finishing out the last segment here with Grab Bag. Nye, this is your favorite segment, isn't it?
It's my favorite. We're all about opinion. Opinionated over here.
Here we go.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Travis Hunter stated he should win the Heisman Trophy at the end of the year over Boise State's Ashton Jeanty. He has 95 carries for 1,000 yards. If I had 95 catches, how many yards do you think you'd have? I think Griffin is the one that put that question in there. So we'll go to Alex with your opinion in regards to this take, and then I want to know Griffin's.
Ooh, I mean, for him to just come out and say that? You got to kind of respect the confidence there. He's playing both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, he actually can and has some ground to stand. But Boise State, Ashton Jeanty, he may break some records here. So it's going to be close between those two. What's your thoughts?
I think this is one of the more interesting Heisman races I've seen in the last few years. You got a guy like Travis Hunter who is breaking the mold. He is playing wide receiver. He is playing corner. He's not just playing it, but he's doing it well on both ends for the Colorado Buffalo. He's a very intriguing guy, and just that alone, you know, being able to play both ways in college football at the highest level, that is very impressive, something very worthy of being considered a Heisman candidate. But then you got this beast in Boise State, Ashton Jeanty. He's already broken the mark for the thousand for 1,000 yards on the season, I think, with at least a little close to half of the season still left to go. He is like a, he's 5'8".
He's a bully.
But he's just bullying these people.
He's running through everybody.
Nobody can bring him down. He's so electrifying. Every time you watch a Boise State game, he literally single-handedly almost helped Boise State pull off the upset win against Oregon, at the very beginning of the season. So the fact that the Heisman this year is probably going to go down to these two guys right here, I'm not mad that Travis Hunter said it, because it's stroking the fires of what this race is going to just how exciting this race is going to be, and I cannot wait to see who actually ends up being called the best college football player this season.
And Ashton Jeanty, he's only playing the first half of some of these games. That's just even more impressive. So, yeah, it's going to come down to the wire, and it's not just guaranteed to be a quarterback, so that's what makes it a lot of fun, too.
I love that it's not a quarterback, that it's all automatically considered the winner. I'm very against, and maybe it's because I was a D lineman and all offensive lineman. I'm so sick of the quarterback position always winning the MVPs, always winning the Heismans. I want to see guys who are doing things like basically could possibly run for 3,000 yards if Boise just decided to keep Ashton Jeanty in there throughout the rest of their games, or Travis Hunter playing both sides of the ball throughout entire games at the highest level. Like, these are the storylines at the Heisman race. Like, these are the stories that are worthy of being considered for the Heisman.
Back in the bag. Let's run it back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Detroit Pistons head coach J.B. Bickerstaff implements a new rule for players that restricts players from wearing hoodies during practice.
Ooh.
Alex.
I love this story. I do have an opinion, but we were talking about this off air, so I want you to start it off.
Moment of silence. Pistons players, y'all had a 14-68 record last year. Y'all sucked. Y'all don't need to be wearing hoodies during practice. It could be something as it being such a very small matter, but you have this new head coach in J.B. Bickerstaff who's trying to come in his first year coaching this team because Monty Williams didn't do his job. So he's trying to implement things that he believes is going to change. So we hope that it is. 28 games in row and counting, an NBA record last year of games being lost. They haven't went to the playoffs. Last time the Pistons won a playoff game was before Barack Obama was even in presidency. That's a very long time. Pistons have a lot of work to do.
Yep, it's about discipline, rules, and, you know, kind of old school mentality here with him making these rules, but I'm okay with it.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Who will take control in Game 3 of the WNBA Finals? We got the Lynx versus Liberty. Game 3 is happening tonight.
It is actually happening right
now.
Let me pull up the
score. Let's pull it up.
Minnesota Lynx 35-28. They were leading 28-18 after the first quarter. So going back home seems to be doing good for the Lynx. We'll see if the Liberty can have the opposite. And Minnesota, you know, came from behind. One game one. We'll see if Liberty can do that here in game three.
Griffin, tell me your thoughts.
Let's go New York Liberty. If somebody's going to be if one team who ended up beating the Aces and tossed us out from winning back-to-back-to-back titles, I would hope that that team is the one who ultimately wins the entire thing. I think the New York Liberty are a solid team. They looked solid when they beat the brakes off the Aces. But I think New York Liberty, even if the Lynx win tonight and they go up 2-1 in the series, I still like the Liberty to ultimately win this in the end.
Yeah, I'm taking Liberty too. I mean, it sucks that I am taking them because they knocked my Aces out. But again, that's just a biased perspective. So coming from a standpoint of actually not having a feeling towards any of these, I ultimately think that although Lynx are great defensively and offensively, like I said, they're one of the top defensive teams. Like Breonna Stewart said, they really got to play. I'm not sure how the start was, but they had to have gotten off to a fast start in order to keep up. But the Lynx also have the morale right now. They have their crowd to back them up. But if the Liberty can close it, then I can see them winning this year. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
TNT invests in unrivaled 3-on-3 women's basketball leagues. TNT's trying to do something. Griffin, I'm going to let you take the role with this one.
Yeah, I mean, TNT's got to do something. So they decided that they are going to invest in this women's basketball 3-on-3 league. There's already a bunch of bigger names in the WNBA who have signed on to, I believe, play in the league, possibly during offseason from the WNBA. But as it stands right now, it seems like it's going to be a new league where we're going to see the game of basketball condensed down a little bit. There's already, I believe, a men's 3-on-3 league. It's not as mainstream, obviously, as like the pro leagues of the NBA, WNBA, but it's still, it seems to have some kind of interest from people watching it. So now that there's going to be a women's league for it, I'm excited for it. Anything that will help promote a sport, anything that makes the sport more interesting to fans, I'm all for.
Hey, and it is pretty intriguing here. Co-founders of this league, Breonna Stewart, Nafisha Collier, both playing in this finals matchup. So that's got to be good to kind of draw even more eyes towards this new league.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Aaron Judge ends home run-less streak in the playoffs. I'm going to get your opinion with this, Alex, because I know you're the baseball girl. Five postseason games of struggles gave way to one giant swing Tuesday night when Judge's two-run homer capped a 6-3 win that gave the New York Yankees a 2-0 series lead against the Cleveland Guardians.
Aaron Judge needed that. He just kind of had to get that one out of the way. A lot of people were talking about him struggling in October when it matters the most. Well, now he's hit a home run, and the Yankees are on their way. I think that they're going to be okay in this series against the Guardians. And we saw it with Mookie Betts. He was struggling a little bit, got his first home run, and now that the Dodgers have been doing very well. Shouldn't speak too fast. They're only up 1-0, so we'll see what happens in that game. But any thoughts for you here with Aaron Judge?
Much like Nye, I'm not really a big baseball guy. But I will say, one thing that has piqued my interest as a non-baseball fan, I have paid attention a little bit to this competition between Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Just kind of, we had a conversation with Greg Salerno on the show not too long ago where he was saying, you know, all the attention is on Shohei and all of his accolades and all the great things he's done this season. But under the radar, Aaron Judge himself has had a great season as well. So that budding kind of who's really the number one star in the MLB, that's the storyline that I take a little interest in.
I think we already all know who the star is.
Oh, please tell me who it is, LA Dodgers fan. Who is the number
back
one?
Back in the bag. We got him.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
WFAN play-by-play voice criticizes the Yankees for a mistake that resulted in the end of an inning due to Anthony Rizos taking too much of a lead from the second and getting picked off to conclude the inning. Alex, should the Yankees fans be worried for their playoff run?
Because of this? No, I don't think so. But I did think this clip was awesome. I wish we had the audio. We should have sent it to you earlier, Griffin. Actually, he's the one that found the article, so it's okay. But anyways, he says that's what they do. They run the bases like drunks. So I thought that was pretty funny. And Justin kind of brought it up too, that he's a homer and he still called him out for their base running. So it was all in fun. They shouldn't be worried. Not for the playoffs.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Due to the damage caused by Hurricane Milton, the Tampa Bay Rays' Tropicana Field seems certain that it will not be ready for play for the scheduled March 27th home opener in 2025. Such a sad story. Alex, give me your take.
Ooh, I know. Seeing pictures of that was heartbreaking. Yeah, 2025 even? Seems like a long time. I would hope that they could get it done by then, but...
Yeah, it is devastating what has been going on with Hurricane Milton. Got to make sure, you know, at the end of the day, we're all here talking sports, but we also got to keep in mind there's a lot of stuff going on, especially down there in that area. Keep those people, keep that whole area in your thoughts. 2025 without a baseball stadium, without a home for your team for the following season, we haven't even ended this year. That's a tough break. Hopefully they can figure out a solution. It's a sad situation overall.
Very well said, Griffin. That's it for us here on Cofield and Company. We'll see you guys soon.